Welcome to the Huntington Way Show, where we help parents navigate the educational maze. I'm your host, Yvonne Strawn, author and founder of InspirationalHomeschooling.com. Today's guest is Carolyn Martin. She is the Director of Government Relations with Christian Home Educators of Colorado. We are talking about potential impacts of government funding for home education. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors, Huntington Learning Center and Inspirational Homeschooling, for bringing this show to you. You're listening on Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. Please like and subscribe to Power Talk 1040 on YouTube. Welcome to the show, Carolyn.
Thanks, Yvonne, for having me.
Great to have you here. We have so many families choosing to educate our children at home. And why do you think that is?
Well, if you take a look at the National Home Education Research Institute, or NERI, they say that it's to provide a safer environment for their kids. We're having a lot of problems with environment in schools. They also say it's to accomplish more academically than in the schools, because we know that only 70%, I mean, not 70% of kids can't read, I should say. 70% of kids can't read when they graduate, which is a problem. Protecting kids from racism, bullying, and harassment. And then another key is curriculum, being able to customize or individualize a curriculum to your child, and also to teach and impart your values and beliefs and your worldview into your children.
Yeah, those are all important reasons to homeschool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, homeschooling brings families together, and there is really no doubt about that. And I think so many families crave it.
Yes.
The homeschool started and has grown because parents are motivated to make decisions out of concerns for their own children's well-being, as Carolyn has shared. Consulting with thousands of homeschool families over the years, I hear more and more people ask if there's government funding or tax breaks for the education of their children and maybe buying the materials that they need. Now, 32 states already offer school choice programs where parents can enroll their child in another school of their choice or have the funding go to the school which the child is now attending. But some states actually take school choice options and funding to a whole new level, offering education savings accounts or what they call education scholarship accounts. Can you share what those are?
Yeah, short, it's ESAs. Education savings accounts are ESAs. And what happens there is they take government money and give it to families to use for private education or educational resources. So it would cover, a lot of them cover private people going to private schools or doing educating at home. But usually when they set these programs up, they do it in such a way that a third party is managing that money. The government gives a third party the money and they manage it for the parents. And you have to apply for eligible expense. You have to give receipts for eligible expenses and things like that. And it's very limited. But when we're talking about homeschoolers, it means that now you become a different kind of student. You're no longer a homeschool student, you're an ESA student. And that ESA, with that ESA comes a lot of other regulations, like testing, like the fact that you can only buy certain things, like you will have to meet with teachers to be able to set up learning programs for your children. So there's a lot more oversight and a lot less freedom.
Yeah, so essentially it's like all the laws that we and all the freedoms that we've been fighting for as homeschoolers since the 70s and 80s is essentially overturned with basically parents wanting the money, you know.
That's true. That is what happens. They also it also comes with a lot of bureaucracy and paperwork that is not necessary to educate children.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
So no. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are the perceived benefits then of the ESAs?
Well, what the school choice advocates are saying is that it will bring competition to the public school system. We're always hearing that, right? That it's going to empower parents. That's one of the key things. But is it really, is the question. And to break the power of the educational industrial complex, specifically the teachers' unions, right? They're driving a lot of what happens in our schools, them and what I call the industrial complex, which is includes the UN and includes the federal government, the state government, includes all these interested parties that really don't have an interest in your child necessarily, but they have interest in building a certain kind of society. So
yeah, so homeschoolers are essentially in the way of
homeschoolers
them.
Yes, as we grow and get larger as a community, yeah, we become a target. The UN actually came out with a paper talking about these public-private partnerships, which I say ESAs are, because you use a third-party private entity to manage this money, and you've got the government telling you how to spend that money. So you've got these partnerships that are going on, and when you partner together with them, with the government gets all the say over it. But the UN wrote this paper saying, this is the way we control all education, through funding, through giving them money, then we control it through these public-private partnerships. So we have to be careful to and understand that we will lose our freedoms the more we get involved with the government funding.
Yeah, it's like, you know, follow the money and you'll follow, you're inviting regulations. It's like putting the regulations on you from the back door.
Yes. And I, you know, I am not faulting the people who are advocating for this. They do have, I think, good intentions, but they're not looking at the full picture, something that I have been looking at for some time. The fact that parents are not welcome in schools, parents really are seen as the enemy of their children's well-being. So when you put that in the mix, no, we don't want that funding.
Right. So, you know, it's very hard sometimes for these families, though, because they look at these ESAs or some of the different funding, and they're like, well, okay, some of these programs are great.
I know. Some of them really sound great. But when you start looking at the details, then it comes to light that this is a little bit more than of a cost that you're going to have to pay. And I think right now what I saw this last session was it took the Department of Education a couple of decades to figure out that this one school really was funding homeschooling, and they shut it down. It took that long. So it could, you could get this money and it not have strings attached for a little while, but eventually it will come. And my goal is to keep homeschooling free for our posterity, for the future.
Right. Yeah.
Because we need this freedom.
True. So essentially, I mean, if people want to take this money, because right now you can, and you may not lose those freedoms, I mean, these people need to be able to rescind that at some point if they do lose their freedoms. How do you envision that happening?
That's very unlikely. I mean, wasn't it President Reagan? I mean, Carter had brought in the Department of Education in 79. Reagan ran in 1981. He said, I'm getting rid of the Department of Ed. He couldn't do it, and it was only a year old. I don't think we're ever getting rid of any of these programs that they start, and that is troubling. One of the things that I wanted to share with you was, or is, that when the federal government started putting funds into higher education, what happened? It raised the cost of education and it lowered the quality. That's the kind of thing that we'll see happen if the government gets a hold of all education.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Carolyn, thank you for helping listeners understand the reasons people homeschool and for explaining those ESAs. Join me in thanking our sponsors, Inspirational Homeschooling and the Huntington Learning Center, for bringing this show to you. When we come back, Carolyn and I will discuss important concerns all families should be aware of when considering government funding of education. Welcome back to the Huntington Way Show. You're listening on Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. Please like and subscribe to Power Talk 1040 on YouTube. I'm here with Carolyn Martin, and she is the Czech Director of Government Relations. And we're talking about some important concerns all families should be aware of when considering government funding for home education. This show is brought to you by our sponsors, the Huntington Learning Center and Inspirational Homeschooling. Carolyn, when considering government funding for home education, what do you find alarming?
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about in this area. So I advocate against these programs for homeschoolers. One of the major reasons is what this idea that I call conflation, right? So we had talked about how ESAs, if you were a homeschooler, you will be considered really an ESA student, not a homeschooler. You don't follow the homeschool law, you follow the ESA law. And when that happens, what we saw in West Virginia has a universal ESA program. That means anybody can get it. You get, you know, almost the per pupil state funding for your student. And when they passed that a couple of years ago, they said, okay, we're not touching the homeschool law. We're not requiring everything for the homeschoolers that we're requiring for the ESA students. That's great. We won't do that. The next year, the legislature came and said, oh, well, we're going to add testing and all this other stuff to homeschoolers. So right away, they were already wanting to do it. Now, that bill failed, but they showed their intentions of wanting to regulate further homeschoolers, even though they weren't taking the dollars, the government money. That's conflation, where you conflate two things together and make regulations for both. That we don't want that. Another thing is your growing dependence on the government. This really just becomes another entitlement program. Everybody gets it, right? Mm-hmm. We, you know, it's just phenomenal to me that we have grown our entitlement programs so much that there's no way that we can ever pay off the debt that we have, right? Thankfully, in Colorado, we have Tabor, and it limits that ability of the government to grow and to get into debt. But federally, yeah, no, you're creating another entitlement program. It's just around education. Another thing is that your children will be tracked. Right now, they're not being tracked in homeschooling in Colorado and most states. We don't track the children, right? You will have more tracking. And another thing they're looking at is they really want to get into the homes of homeschoolers and do home visits. We saw this in a bill a couple of years ago. Actually, they were looking at visiting all preschool homes, all people who had preschoolers, and they included homeschoolers as well. Mm-hmm. So they're looking to do home visits. That means they'll come inspect your home, decide if you're doing a good job as a parent. I'm sorry, no, the government has usurped their power to go into the home. The family should be kept alone, left alone. The other thing is they'll control the curriculum. They really want to control it. And they want to control it so that everyone is teaching the same kinds of things. The whole idea of inclusiveness, right? The CRT, the equity, all those ideas they want to infuse in homeschooling as well and private schools. And that brings us to equity and what's called the Colorado Anti-Discrimination Act. Mm-hmm. When in Maine, the Supreme Court said, you know, you have to fund private schools just like you fund public schools, right? There was this move of that because Maine is a state that doesn't have a lot of people in it, so they're able to fund some of private education. But when that happened, the AG came out in Maine and said, okay, that's nice, but you private schools, you have to abide by what's their anti-discrimination law, meaning you have to hire teachers that are transgender, homosexual, whatever. It doesn't go along with your values as your private school. You still have to abide by this anti-discrimination law. And that will come in as well with homeschooling and with the things that we do, right? Our co-ops, other things that we're doing. It's going to reach into some of these other areas, which are dangerous. And again, I talked about the cost shifting and how you increase the government funding for things. It increases the cost and the quality. Well, for homeschoolers, I could see it would restrict what's available to homeschoolers. You wouldn't be able to get curriculum anymore because that has God in it, because the market just won't bear it if everyone is using government money to buy curriculum. And that is a problem. And I think it would raise prices for homeschooling. It doesn't cost a lot to homeschool if you are discerning, right?
Yeah,
So.
absolutely. I mean, we spend a fraction of what is spent on a child that goes into the public school or a private school.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you could see the curriculum for homeschoolers increasing.
Right. Yeah. The price of the curriculum
It
and
will
everything
price us
else.
out of the
Yeah.
market. Yeah.
Right. Now, you mentioned Tabor Law in
Yes.
Colorado, and sometimes there's a tax on that, and I remember seeing something that you have talked about that, even now they're looking at changing some of that Tabor Law to bring the funds
Yeah,
in.
well, Tabor is the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, and that was passed, I believe it was 1992, where it says, okay, government, we know you have a purpose because government does have a purpose, but we don't want you to grow beyond what is population growth and inflation. It's a complicated formula, and I don't know, it has some other aspects to it too. But essentially, it's saying you can't grow beyond this. And if you do, you have to, and you collect more taxes than we say you should, you have to ask the people if you can keep it. Well, there is a proposition coming up on the ballot this year, Prop HH, that will essentially, in about a decade, destroy Tabor, take that away. And I tell you, the majority party up there would love that because they've got lots of programs that they can't fund. And they want to fund them more. One of the things we saw this year was the mental health screenings. I think we talked about that previously. Well, they don't have enough money to do what they want. They would love to have a counselor in every classroom to take care of the mental health needs of the children. Well, those mental health problems were created by them, and now they're trying to fix them with their counselors, which will only lead to more problems.
Right.
So anyway, that's
Yeah.
just another funding source, right? And in order, even the ESAs in Arizona, they're finding that they don't have enough money to cover the ESAs that are there. In other words, their budget is growing, and that is what happens when the government starts an entitlement program. They don't
Right.
have enough money to fund that, and
Right.
so it could bust your budget. And if we get rid of Tabor, yeah, that's where we're headed.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So essentially, I mean, we can look at it with any government funding, the collapse of the funds, really, and then
Yeah.
having to choose where you spend it.
Right, where you spend it.
Right.
And I just want to add this other thing is that in Colorado, the majority party won't be passing an ESA anytime soon. But there are programs out there that are trying to find loopholes to get money to homeschoolers. And I just want to say it's the same thing. Be wary. And really, it's done through these part-time public school programs. Be leery of joining and locking arms with them.
Oh, that makes sense. That's a good point to our parents out there that are homeschooling. As a reminder to our audience, homeschooling started and was grown because parents were motivated to make decisions out of concern for their own children's well-being. So we must be careful not to lose sight of this. I can definitely see how advocating for and signing up for public funding for home education can be a slippery slope. So Carolyn, I am so thankful that what you do helps us keep our freedoms to homeschool, and you are working so hard. So tell us how people can support you and find you and keep informed on those legislative issues.
Yeah, I just remember that nothing is free. Someone's always paying for it, right? But stay informed. Sign up for my prayer emails at check.org/freedom. And I'd say educate yourself and your children on the liberty issues and our founding principles. Because if you have those solidly inside of you, you won't get tricked into these programs. And then let your legislators hear from you on this issue and other issues. If you sign up for my prayer emails, I usually have an action item in there as well. So,
Great, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for all the work that you do to support parents, to support homeschoolers, and keep our freedoms here in Colorado and really essentially across the whole nation. So I express our gratitude also to our sponsors, the Huntington Learning Center and Inspirational Homeschooling, for bringing this show to you. This is Yvonne Strawn, today's host on the Huntington Way Show, where we support you in educating your kids. Thank you for joining us.